You're listening to Marketplace. I'm Molly Wood, in for Kai Ryssdal. Let's get right to the news. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia died of a reported heart attack this weekend, but even before his body made it back to his home in Virginia, Washington was already well into the debate over what his death means for the Supreme Court and for the political process. For more, I'm joined from Washington by Marketplace's Kimberly Adams. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, Molly.
Now, Kimberly, obviously the Supreme Court deals with all sorts of issues, but when it comes to business and the economy specifically, what kind of legacy does Justice Scalia leave behind?
So even though Justice Scalia is known as a social conservative and being very strong on these social issues, he was also a fiscal conservative. He actually had some economic training in addition to legal training, and that came out in a lot of his decisions. I was speaking with Gregory McGarian, a law professor at Washington University, and he said that was especially clear in the way that Scalia influenced the Citizens United case. And we'll remember that because that's the one that said corporations could contribute to political campaigns.
Justice Scalia actually made an affirmative case that corporations were important and should be heard in the political process because of their economic power and significance. And that's a big idea that I don't think has gotten a lot of attention, but it's certainly something he contributed to that decision.
He was very much someone who said that because corporations and businesses are such drivers of the economy, they need to have a role in the political process. And that made him a darling of many businesses and corporations. And I was speaking with one Republican analyst today who told me it's going to be very, very hard to find somebody as fiscally conservative to replace him.
Interesting. And then this fight, of course, over who will replace him and when is not just gearing up, I would say, in full swing. Is the money machine also already at work?
Well, we definitely saw over the weekend that the presidential candidates were quick to jump on this as an issue to try and rally their various bases and say that, look, you know, we need a Democratic president because of the Supreme Court, or we need a Republican president because of the Supreme Court. And so we are likely to see a lot more fundraising off of that issue. But additionally, there's a lot of key Senate races. Remember, the Senate has to confirm nominees to the Supreme Court. And so a lot of senators, especially those from swing districts, are looking very nervous. And there's already organizations and companies and political campaigns lining up to try and say, look, we are going to funnel money into this issue because it's so key. And a lot of those Republican senators that are up for re-election are going to have a really hard time with their donors if they end up on the record as supporting an Obama nominee to the Supreme Court.
Right. So it's clear that this is probably going to take a while. So what about those cases that are already in the pipeline? What'll happen to those?
It's a bit unclear, and there are a lot of really key cases. We're looking at issues related to Obamacare and abortion and affirmative action and trade unions. The list goes on. And Scalia was likely to be a swing vote, a key vote on many of those decisions. So what do we have now? We've got many cases where the split is going to be 4-4. And so in those cases, a couple of things could happen. Either it could get kicked down and say, well, the lower court's decision stands and we're not going to do anything with it, or it could be that the court decides that they are going to re-argue those cases at a later date. But again, if this process stretches on too long, they're not going to want to keep doing that. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out.
That's Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Thanks so much, Kimberly.
Thank you, Molly.